Christianity is not a life of struggle. That's why God has given us his grace, so that we enjoy a free flow of his kingdom.
Join Prophet Simon Thomas of Glory Carriers Ministry International as he brings you the divine word of God in its simplicity.
To you, many years ago, the Lord taught me this. He says, son, be meek. I'm sure God told me that because of how I was going with this light I had. I would be preaching. The fire was so much. One day I was meditating. He says, son, I heard him say, son, be meek. I checked the word for meekness. It means even if you know, behave like you don't know in some occasion. So it is not everywhere I go that I show that I know something. I still keep my mouth shut to discern what is really happening, to discern how to talk, to discern when to talk. Do you people get what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So when he said that, it's true. Well, look at our generation. What is the proof that we are a new creation? Earring. Men plaiting their hair. Men putting nose ring. Women bossing five of their hair. That is the proof we are a new creation. New Testament Christian. That's what you are using to prove we are a new Testament Christian. You talk, they blast you on media. They bash you on media. As I'm talking like this, I will not be surprised if they start following me and insulting me on media. Holiness, Mr. Holy. Because they don't like the truth. Look at the discipline our fathers of faith have. Look at the discipline. That is why they are still trending to today. Are you listening to me? You must really wake up. I wonder what whoever taught us that to be a new creation is to be looking wayward, worldly. I wonder where we learned those things from. Is a wrong spirit entering the church? Are you listening to me, church? It's a wrong spirit. For goodness sake, can I just have you come? Doctor, come. Who is not wearing blazers but looks just nice? Anybody else? Come. Lawyer, come. This man, now, please climb up. And this other man, climb up. Two wonderful dresses, isn't it? The two of them now. Maybe this man, let's take for instance, he wears suit, but let's assume he doesn't like suit. But look at how he's dressed. Can anybody look at him and say he's wayward? Can anybody look at this man here again and say he's wayward? Nobody. Nobody. He can decide to plait his hair and do anything he wants to do. Nobody will kill him. Are you together? I'm trying to say. But what will give him more problem in this life? This dressing or plaiting his hair and putting earrings? Even if you are driving and you stop on the road in any checkpoint, they'll say, bring your phone, let's see. You have problem already. Many years ago, I was driving to Abuja. Somebody used to drive me. We were going to Abuja. And anywhere we stopped, they'll tell the guy, bring your phone. I got tired. Because of his hair. And I said to him, if we get back to Makodi, cut this hair. I did not argue with the police. He would just use me, my pastor is at you. I'm wondering what kind of pastor they will see me as. You say my pastor. So when I wind down, I'll just do that. Pastor, they'll say I should go. But if somebody wants to really check that situation, he may not say, but pastor, why your boy go have this kind of hair? What will I now say? But there are a lot of people driving and passing, they'll just be waving them. Me, they'll stop me because of the person at the front was what? Dress in a certain way. The dressing will put them into more problems. Paul said everything in this world is permissible. Even a man marrying man is permissible. Is it not permissible now in this America? He said, but not everything is necessary. As believers, we do the necessary, we don't do the permissible. We do the necessary, not what? The permissible. And you are permitted to go and plait your hair, but is it necessary? You are permitted to put nose ring, but is it necessary? We know you are not a believer. You are not a use. You are a technon when you do things like that. If these guys now, they plait their hair and go and evangelize, who will listen to them? If I plaited my hair, I'm sure some of you, if you enter this church, I'm sure this woman that just entered now, if she just saw me with hair now, she told her, I don't know if it's her sister or friend, please, excuse me, she has gone back home. If they say, why did she go back home? She will say, the church I came, pastor, they plait hair. More than 10 people will say, which kind of stupid church be that? Do you know that? More than 10 will say that that's a very useless church. Thank God you left. It's end time church. Even those with plaited hair, the boys, the pastor, they plaited hair, with their plaited hair, they say, ah, I know we go there. I've seen this thing once in BSU. Somebody dressed in a certain way. He saw a pastor dressing in a certain way. He was telling me, pastor, which kind of pastor it is? I said, ah, but he's dressed like you now. He said, pastor, ah, why you go dress like me? I know be pastor now. Imagine. It will give them so much problem. The Bible says, I've given you a mouth and a word that no man can gain a say. Meaning that they will look at you. If it's about you, nobody will find any reason to condemn you because of anything you do. I'm not saying people will not still condemn you, but you should not be the reason. How can you tell me somebody is singing about God and you put earring inside his nose? He'll boss as a man, even as a woman is wrong, but as a man. Get seated, thank you. So listen, me, I'm not looking for friendship with anybody in this world that does not have values, follow the values of God. I'm not. If that's the way I will get some, become bigger in ministry, may I never become bigger. That's not what I'm looking for. Are you all listening to me? So whenever you are coming to do anything in church, make sure it's appropriate. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I'm not against them, alright? I just want everybody to see the wisdom behind some of my instructions. Are you all listening to me? I want you to see the wisdom behind it. And we don't go into details. As pastors, you must be disciplined like that. Because if we go into details and tell you some of the things we have heard from some of these so-called people that claim if we tell you some details, some reports, you understand why we're shouting like this. We have heard first-hand information. We sat down as pastors and heard some kind of things. Hallelujah to Jesus. Are you here tonight? So please, glory to God forevermore. The Bible said, be not conformed. We're speaking about glory culture. Romans 12, 1. It said, be not conformed according to the systems of the world, isn't it? It said, but be transformed by what? By the renewal of your mind. But he said something at the beginning. He said, offer. Can we just read verse 1? Let me just say the way it is. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. So what are you leveraging on to be able to offer yourself a living sacrifice to God? The mercies of God. What he has done on Calvary. That you present. The word acknowledge there is the word present. The interpretation in Greek is acknowledge. That you acknowledge your bodies, meaning just agree with God. That by the reason of his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross, represented by the mercies of God here in scripture. Alright, so by because of what you have done, Jesus, for me on Calvary, my body is now yours. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? My body is now what? Yours. Because whatever he did on the cross of Calvary is to the end that your body becomes a temple of what? The temple of the Holy Ghost. That's the reason why he died, was buried, and what? Resurrected. The promise of the new birth is that is Emmanuel, God with man. And the possibility for that to happen is we, his temples, being prepared. Alright, so if he sees that our body are really fortified to be in his temple, then he will come and live with men. Are you people getting out trying to explain it? So that's the whole reason for salvation, kingdom. God living with what? Men. Emmanuel, God with us. Hallelujah to Jesus. Alright, so Paul is saying that, he's telling the church, I beseech you, I beg you all, brethren and sisters, by the finished work of Jesus, that you acknowledge, present your bodies a living sacrifice, not dead sacrifice, a living what? Sacrifice. Holy what? Acceptable to God, which is your only, which is your reasonable service. Meaning that if God looks at you and wants to understand, if you understand what he did on Calvary, is to the end that he sees your body being what? Offered a living sacrifice. If he doesn't see your body being offered, then he understands that you, this brother, and you, this sister, you don't understand what he did for you on Calvary. I even get on trying to explain to you. And that's why Paul was shouting in 1 Corinthians 6. He was shouting, don't you know the unrighteous cannot inherit the kingdom? Verse 9. Don't you know so and so cannot inherit the kingdom? Don't you know? Then he said, you were bought with a price to the end that you glorify God in your spirit and body, which are God's. You see that? So if you know that you were bought with a price and now your body belongs to God, then you will not be caught in sin. You will not walk in sin. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It is the ignorance of this understanding that causes people to walk in sin. If you see somebody in sin, he doesn't know what Jesus has done as regarding his body. God has already bought his body. His body does not belong to him. The next question is, how did he buy it? Then we explain his death, burial, and what? Resurrection. And if you understand that, you cannot continue working your sin. That's why Paul was talking to them that way, because he knew they didn't know. They were not aware. They were not informed that their body has been what? Offered. Do you not know your body is now the temple of the Holy Spirit? Then verse 2. Having told them that their reasonable service is offering their body, he said the only way this can become a reality is when you don't be conformed to this world. The system of this world. But by you being what? Transformed by the renewal of your mind. So as your minds get renewed, something is happening. What is resultant effect here? If your mind gets renewed, you come to a point that you can prove what is that good, acceptable, and what? Perfect will of God. And remember, there are no three will here, category of will here. It is the will of God being described by three different adjectives. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? The will of God that is good is the one that is what? And is the one that is what? So God's will that is good is the one that is acceptable and the one that is perfect. There is no three category of God's will. Now, after getting your minds renewed by the word, you come to a point where you can now, by the reason of the renewal, you know, and all of the things that have happened to your mind, tell yourself that this is God's will and this is not God's will. This is God's will and this is not God's will. You are in the world, they ask you a question, is it good to do this, blah, blah, blah. Because your mind had been renewed a long time ago by God's word, you say, no, this is not true. This is true. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You can now rightly divide the word of truth. You can tell what's not God's will from God's will because your mind had been renewed by the word of God. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? That way you are fulfilling verse 1. Because if you don't know the will of God, you cannot live in the will of God. And it is your body that lives in the will of God. So since I know the will of God for my life by my mind getting renewed, my body can now live in that will. That way I'm offering my body a living sacrifice. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Are you understanding me tonight? Glory to God forevermore. So when you see people do certain things, they don't know the will of God. That's why I was talking about that thing as I started teaching in the second service. They don't know the will of God. Even in my family, sometimes I do this kind of teaching. You know, I always tell people charity begins at home. As pastors, sometimes in our family, we even deal with this kind of cases. Remember those days, I'll call my sisters and tell them, this is not God's will, this is God's will. I'm like, no. And I'll try to explain. Hallelujah to Jesus. Glory to God forever. So don't follow the trend. Don't follow the trend. Don't follow the trend. You are the light. You are the light of the world. A city said, you cannot be hidden. So I've been cultured by the word. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Another thing I want to talk about under this culture of a thing is our ecological niche as Christians. In biology, when you say ecological niche, you are talking about the environment that supports the perfect or complete living of a being. For instance, fishes find free flow in what? Water. They live to their best or their full potential in what? Water. If you keep them on land, they are limited. And before you know it, they are dead. They are not designed to live on land. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? Alright, lions were not designed to live in water. You cannot put a lion in water and expect him to live long. He will die. He will be limited. Alright, there was a statement I heard about a whale that it was carried and put inside an aquarium. Alright, and what happened? It was limited. It couldn't grow beyond for several years. That whale couldn't grow beyond that the level of that what? It could not. Because it was what? Inside it. But when they removed that whale and put back in the ocean, it became big, the way it's supposed to be big. I will get on trying to explain to you. Because it was where? In the wrong environment. Are you listening to me tonight? Do you know we can draw an example here from this whale? Because you see, whales were supposed to be in water. Alright? But not small water. I don't know how to explain it. Not like in an aquarium. Water in an aquarium. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? They were designed to be in an ocean, river, big rivers. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Sometimes when, as a Christian, if you're in a religious circle, an aquarium, do you understand? It's water, but water inside an aquarium. I don't know that you get what I'm trying to say. You will not live your best. Although you are a whale, you'll be limited to the size of the aquarium. Are you get what I'm trying to explain? That's why there are some Christians that when you tell them you can live above sin, they say, a lie. Because they are inside an aquarium. They tell you, but I'm a Christian. That means they are in water. But they don't know that four walls of religion is what? An aquarium. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? So like I was going somewhere. Lions can't live in water. They can't survive in water, isn't it? They cannot. Human beings were not designed to live in water, isn't it? We can't. Hallelujah to Jesus. And I'm not just talking about we living on the land now. As Christians, now that's human beings, we're designed to live on, you know, just land space and the rest, like every mammal, isn't it? But you see, as Christians, we're designed to walk in the Spirit. Paul in Galatians said to us, he said, walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the desires of. But as mere human beings, Jesus said something about mere human beings. He said, as a mere human being, your spirit is what? Willing, but your flesh is what? Weak. But Paul now complements that scripture. He said, but if you walk in the, you will not fulfill the desires of what? Beautiful. You see that? So your best is not on land, in the world. Your best is in the Spirit. If you really, your ecological nature is in the Spirit. Alright? In Christ. In the Spirit, in Christ. To be in Christ is to be in the Spirit. To be in the Spirit is to be in Christ. So how many of you are in Christ? You are in the Spirit. Are you getting what I'm trying to say? The pastor, I did not travel anywhere. You don't need to travel anywhere. I was saying in the first service, are angels here? By God's word, he said, where two or three are gathered, I am. Is God here? Are angels here? Because God cannot be and angels are not here. It's not possible. They are protocols. They are here. Can you see them? But are they here? How many of you have seen an angel before physically? Don't lie, oh, don't lie. Because who asked the Lord to prove himself on you? If you have seen an angel physically before, raise your hand. Okay, if you have seen, okay. And some, again, let me help you. Like Paul's experience, you have seen, you can't tell whether it's supernatural or physical. Let me see your hands. You have seen, but you don't know whether it's, you people don't have encounters in this church. Now, wow. We need to pray more. Now, I think I saw somebody's hand up. It's very possible for you to see an angel. When you saw the angel, now let's ask our sister, because most of our brothers and sisters here did not see. So you don't understand. Let's speak spirits. You have not seen all these years as a Christian. This guitar you are playing in jaws and moving around, you've not seen angel. How will you see? The way you are moving around in jaws. Alright. Let's talk in a language we understand. In the language of angels. It is very possible. Don't be jealous. If you finish service, if you want to, just go and give her rice. Some of you. Sow rice in a plate of rice. Hot one. When you saw the angel, can you tell where the angel came from? You just saw it. Isn't it? Just appeared. Isn't it? And all of a sudden, you did not see it again. Because some people think it's geographical location. So it traveled somewhere and came down. Especially because of the story of Daniel. That the angel was coming. As he was coming, an angel now stopped him and said, clear out. Where did he go? Who goes you? Then he said, I'm going to see Daniel. Something is supposed to happen. Now say, you go nowhere. you know, we die here today. And he signaled heaven. And Michael came out. I was coming, sharp, sharp. And I said, who goes you? And broke his head. And of course, the guy left the road. So some people are thinking that heaven is somewhere far. So what? The angels will be trying. I remember Prophet Kuhl was explaining this thing to us. One time I was watching from TV. He said, heaven is like a curtain that separates the earth. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? It's just like, the Bible speaks about the second coming as it said, every eye will see him. And the Bible now speaks about, call the second coming the appearing of the Lord. I don't know if you saw that part. It calls it the appearing. Why did he call it the appearing? Because it will just be a revelation. Pew, in the twinkle of an eye, something will just happen. You'll be wondering, it didn't take long. Pew, something just happened. If you want to see an angel now, you just see the angel. It's more like a curtain was open and you saw something and probably closed back. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? So, heaven is just an unseen realm. It's not physical. We can't touch it, but it exists. It's virtual. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain? It's just here. It's not anywhere far. It's here. Do you all understand me? You can sit down. Are you here? That's why the Bible says, you have come to Mount, the city. You'll be wondering, how did you get there? God divine us. How can you just tell me, say, I have come to Mount Zion? He said, you have come to Mount Zion. Can we read it? Hebrews 12 from verse 20. All right, so let's read one to go. He said, but ye are come to the city. You know the comparison, isn't it? Comparing Moses' dreadful experience on the mountain and how that God is close to us in the New Testament. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? That's why you see the word but there, because there was something they were negating. Then I say, but you are come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God. You have come. Are you in Christ? You are in the come. You have come. You are not trying to go. Now, take this serious. It's a very serious thing. Talking now, you'll be saying, Pastor, as long as I have the money, I don't need angels. When they catch you one day, say, no, Pastor, I don't travel in the night. Oh, I can never travel in the night. It's only in the night that Fulani used to come out now. I know people that have traveled hot sun and Fulani short. Short. Thank God the guy did not die. Short. In this country now, if your faith is not in Jesus Christ, you're on your own. These are the things that will keep us strong in these times and seasons. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? The Bible says it's our present help in times of need. Who told you God is not aware of the problem in Nigeria? You think he has not made provision already? You think the provision he made is a Nigerian military or Nigerian Air Force or Nigerian police? What did Jesus say about angels and his armies? He said, my kingdom is not of this world. I would have finished you now. But when he was about to show himself strong in the life of the two guys in prison, Paul and Silas, did he show himself or not? They were in the prison. They thought they were soldiers, alive. Another realm entered that realm. Their eyes were open, but they didn't know what was happening. They didn't know what was happening. I heard of a man called Bishop Benson Idahusa. They came to attack this man of God with weapons. They couldn't shoot him. He collected it from them. They couldn't shoot him. See, Pastor Simon, all this thing, not true, so? Yes. Let's leave him. And talk about the Bible. What of Elisha? See, Pastor Simon, me, it's just money I want God to give me. Do you know angels bring money? Do you know angels bring money? Do you know angels bring money? Who brought food to Elijah? Huh? Huh? The ravens. See, Pastor Samuel is ravens. Okay, let me leave that side. Maybe I missed that one now. I have many more. Give me one. Abraham. The ram. No, we've said that one. They told me it's ravens. I thought it was an angel. What? Yes! The angels came in form of humans, remember? And they came and delivered the news that Sarah was what? Going to put to bed. And when she laughed, you know, she laughed, that woman laughed. You know those women, wicked laugh. The man will say, what is the meaning of that? A lot of situations in scripture, angels came, alright? Give me now. I'm angel that what? For Elijah. They just said it's ravens. Okay, an angel came. That's the one I wanted to see now. So I was right actually. They wanted to confuse me. You see Miriam? Miriam said, no, it's ravens. Because an angel came for Elijah. Big bread, okay. Angel, big bread. Are you hearing? Huh? Without oven. A big bread. Manna fell from heaven. Huh? Manna sounds like massa. Fell from heaven. People ate and enjoyed. Angels. Now, the story I wanted to say was that of Elisha. Remember, they were in a cave. Please listen carefully. And suddenly, the Bible said, Gehazi noticed that there were a lot of soldiers out there, isn't it? And what did he say? He said, Master, we're finished. There are so many of them. What did Elisha say? He did not move. He was still confident, doing his stuff. What did the Bible say? The Bible said, he then said, Lord, open the eyes of all, of who? Gehazi. So that he may see. He may see. And the Bible said, when his eyes were open, what happened? He saw that there were a lot of angels. A lot of them. What did he now say at the end? He was now confident like Elisha. He said, they that for us are plentier. There's a song that came out from this understanding that said, it may seem like we are surrounded, but we are surrounded by God. This thing is in the Old Testament or in the New Testament, the angels' number have increased 10 times. Are you listening to me? You must be aware. This is your provision. You say you have come to Mount Zion, the city of the living God, the heavenly, to what? You can't count the number of angels. The Bible says you have come. You are not going to go. You have come. Say, I have come. Talking about ecological niche of a Christian. Know that you are in an environment where angels are so many. You can't even tell the end of it. Are you listening to me? Take it serious. Take it very serious. The time we started knowing all of these things and sharing them, I can't tell you the way God has helped my life tremendously. One time my fan was burning in the house as a student. Burning! And I saw an angel like a little fine baby. Hey, your fan is burning. As I woke up to look at my fan, it was fire everywhere. The current was very high that it caught fire. And I just took one rag. You know that rag that is always in our rooms those days? That old cloth. Whether it's wet, whether it's whatever, is still there. I took it and I just covered it. And the fire went off. Imagine I didn't understand the ministry of angels. Are you listening to me? What would have happened to me? Your life is very important. Don't joke. You cannot tell how tomorrow will be. Take advantage of these realities in Christ Jesus. When you pray, Father, I thank you. I am come to Mount Zion, the city of the Lord, in an innumerable multitude of angels. Father, I thank you. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Say it. Pray it. Believe it. All these yet demons in villages cannot come close to you. They can't. It's not something to even stand around there and be bragging. Those chinge demons, they can't come close to you. Say that you are sleeping, they are pressing you. How? It's a shame. But I told you in the first service, if you hear what listen, they will press you. They will oppress you. You want to sleep in the night, you are hearing Ozeba, Ozeba, Ozeba. You are finished. If a demon had a plan for you that night, successful. When a demon comes into your room and you are playing such a song, they will dance with you. But you can't have a demon in your room under the atmosphere of and the people sing holy. They can't come there. They don't worship God. Do you get what I'm trying to say? In an atmosphere where you are singing only the glory of God. You are holy. As they just touch your door, it's electric shock. You hear pew. They are gone. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? I know what I'm telling you. Like I know my name. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Because there are some wicked people in this world, though. They don't just want you to succeed. We wish this is not a reality. It's a reality. There are some people in the villages carrying two sticks and joining and they want to call your name. There are people like that. You won't know them. If you are plugged to God, if you are plugged to your realities in Christ, those are not, that's just walk over. Walk over. Paul said, food meant for idols. Were they not designed to be eaten by us? That I want to have a child, for instance. Imagine I want to have a child. A demon now rise in the village and say, we want to kill the child. You and your generation will be wiped out in a moment. It's not a joke. You and the person that gave birth to the person that gave birth to you. Any of you that have connected, you and your God, all of you, will wipe you out from where you are. It will enter the supernatural and kill your God. The arrow will hit him there. You can't, there's a place they call danger zone. A military zone. They know what well. Keep off. They are begging you now. Keep it off. Keep off from that place. It's the truth. That's why you cannot threaten me with demonic oppression. Want to. You will see. You will see. Oh my God. When I deal with you, you go and tell me with that. Don't ever tell and say you go see you. If you don't go reach us. You know, one time I was talking with some of my relatives. They said there are certain people you will not give money to. That no, they were telling me the possibility that if you give money to certain people, there's a witchcraft they do. If you give money to certain people, as long as you use your hand and give them the money, you are finished in this world. They can finish your finances. I said, what kind of witchcraft is that one? So I now say, how do you know people not to give your money to? He said, just they follow your mind though. Because if you carry the money and give them, if they hold that money from you, and I say, okay, why will it not work? He said, go transfer them to them, POS. And I said, does that thing make any sense? If I give you money physically, you can harm me, and now go and transfer. Did I not still give you the money? You see how the devil is very foolish. Witchcraft is a very stupid thing. Very local thing. That means even technology beats witchcraft. It's a higher witchcraft. So as long as I can transfer, you cannot harm me. But if I give you cash, you can harm me. They are very outdated. Then I told him, I said, well, me, I'm not. He said, no, Pastor Simon, you have to be careful. Don't go and kill yourself. I said, kill myself how? Imagine me as a prophet now. I want to give you money. I said, take. And I look at her. I say, I said, I'm one of those guys with this. The Bible said, those who through fear for death were held what? Captive. What I'm saying is that I believe in Satan's power. That's why I'm scared. Who is the devil? The Bible says, he that had power,
He doesn't have. He had power. He had power over that. Are you here?
Yes,
she said, yes, sir. Glory to God forevermore.
Glory.
He that had power. Satan had power. He doesn't have power. You lock yourself somewhere for 5 days saying, die, 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 die. Wasted effort. There's somewhere you reach where he cannot reach. There's somewhere you are, he can't reach there. Grow by light to that level. We are seated together with Christ. He can't come there. But if you are in his level, you will be killing every day by fire. All those who are killing by fire, they are in the same level with Satan. The same level. If, can I have two people of the same height? If you know you are of the same height, come outside. Two people. One person stand up so that another person will look at your height and come. Who can confidently stand? If you have the same height with her, alright, come. Almost the same. Come. You look like you are taller. That is, okay. Okay, your heels is higher. But you have the same height. Alright, climb up. Let them see you, people. These two people now are of the same height, isn't it? So, you know, naturally, just that it doesn't work a lot of times. Stand up, for instance. Naturally, when we're in the barracks, we believe that this guy can never beat this guy. That's our mentality. You know why? Because before he tries anything, I can just... It was our belief. But there was one short guy since that time, I started doubting that understanding. Maybe what happened was that I perished for lack of knowledge. Because normally it was a belief in the barrack that as long as you are taller, you will win the fight. Because if you come, you give him boom, he's already down. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So he's down by default. But there's one guy that I threatened. He said, "Mugu, enter bush." I followed him to the bush. And in the barracks, they don't share fights. So everybody gave us space. And we're sharing. Oh my God. The guy gave me a blow here. I started seeing stars, literal stars. So I shifted. I said, "See, I don't want to kill you." Don't worry. I just started posting, going out. In my heart, I said, "God of mercy. What did I do to this?" So I saw literal stars. Literal. I don't know if you have seen stars when they blew you before. Literal star. So naturally, this guy is supposed to... I'm supposed to beat this guy. Are you people here? But this one cannot beat me. Naturally, as long as he's down, I'm supposed to beat him. But two of them now, if you look at two of them, who can beat who? And you see their mouth. They like fight. Naturally now, if nobody knows them, they'll say, these people, it will be difficult for somebody to beat another person. See what they are saying. These are the people that used to join fights in barracks or in their area, wherever they stayed. No allow, Peter. Now you don't touch like that. Rejoice. In a win. But it will shock you that victory will just raise her up and wipe her to the ground. They don't believe. Hallelujah to Jesus. Because of they are in the same height now, they will struggle. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You know that thing Hausa people used to call cocoa? Who know what they call cocoa? You struggle who to fall. It's a sport, right? They will struggle who to force somebody to the ground. This one is just, I'll just put in like bag of rice on the ground. Because of his height. If you observe, he's always between the same height of people. Because height gives you an advantage. Two of them now, if they are to do cocoa, it will be difficult. Except rejoice don't have the skills. If not, it will be very difficult. Or maybe victory don't have the skills. It will be very difficult. But if somebody taller like Kira now comes. No, Peter. No, imagine, Pastor Emma said they'll beat her. Imagine she can beat them. Just imagine, even if they can beat her, just imagine she can beat them. As she's with Victory, for instance, as Victory is coming, she'll just hold Victory like this and just keep on the ground. Because she has the height. You know why every time we're fighting Satan, we're on the same plane with Satan. The same level. Watch our drama, you see our mentality of Satan. We have done it here with Ola. Where's Ola? Hey, come. Our actor. Ola and Paul. Gabriel, come. Who will act Jesus now? Who will act Satan? Richard, come. Come and act Jesus. Richard, you know how to act? No, you try now. You are wearing white. Come. Oh yeah, on the ground there. Fire him. Fire Jesus, fire him. All right. Do the act. Remember what we did now? Oh yeah. Satan will not follow. Jesus, fire Satan, will not fall. That's how they used to act. Have you not seen it before? Oh yeah. Satan, fire Jesus. Jesus too will do like he want to fall. Which kind of Jesus is that one? We have seen this thing anytime we're acting drama in church. Yes or no? Though hit Jesus, Jesus will do like this. Then Jesus will not stand well and do like this. And look at Satan. Bah! Fire Satan again. Satan did not follow. Satan will stand up. I have fired Jesus. Jesus too will go to the game. Before Jesus will now try and verse and now do plenty times. Now do plenty times. It shows our mentality. That's why when we're praying, we say we don't believe in. That's why Pastor Chris had been a problem with the church in Nigeria. You hear say, in the name of Jesus, be gone. And that man will say, spare not the wittily. We did not. But look at another man. Be gone in the name of Jesus. Get out from here. Queen's English. Another person asked, now who no get problem? They use English, pray. Mentality. Because you think that it's when you brutally attack Satan that he will go away. Fire. Our prayer is always like we're fighting. There's one prayer in Ghana they do like this. You understand what I'm trying to say? It has been that culture. Many of us in the night, if there's no light and something moving your room, you just, Holy Ghost! Fire! They don't even know which one will walk. They don't join with blood of Jesus. Holy Ghost! Blood of Jesus! I bind you! Fire! Watch those people that pray like that. There are people that hear Ozeba. They don't understand how things work in the name of the Spirit. If you really have a walk with the Holy Spirit and you sense a demon, in fact, it will cause laughter. Have you been there before? No jokes. I'm not trying to make you feel so important, but it's the truth. It will stir laughter in your spirit. How dare you? You came here? One time I was sleeping and I heard. I just sense a demonic activity through my window. Very demonic. The whatever bed came, it now hung on my window. I started inside my... Wah! I looked at it. Our eyes jammed. Big eye. And I just smiled. And I slept back. As I opened one of my eyes to look, it has... Whew. He wanted me to wake up. Satan likes drama. I told PGC, Purpose and Glory Campaign ambassadors, I told them something. I said, when you are going to this secondary school to pray for people, and you see any student doing like snake, when you lay hands, they are doing like this. Don't be there. He said, out. Don't still be doing. Satan likes drama. Out. You see, they'll be doing like this. Out. They'll be doing, out. You'll not be thinking you're anointed. Get out of this body. Out. Fire.
Fire! Ah! Fire! Fire! Oh boy, anointing, daddy's body. Fire! In your mind, you're anointed. You are just acting foolish with Satan. Then before you know, Satan will now want to vomit for you. Some of you, that's what you like. Oh! Out! Oh! Out! Oh! Out! Oh! You now see Akbo on the ground or rice on the ground. That's deliverance. The person, how did the person get the problem? Was it by eating Akbo? Why will removing, listen carefully, why will removing Akbo be deliverance or rice? See, when I was small, I hated that thing with the whole of my life. When they are delivering people and I see somebody want to vomit, you just see me run away from church. I used to go and hide somewhere. Because when I do, my food will come here. I don't even like seeing it. There's one time we're praying for somebody, she wanted to vomit, and I took excuse and ran away to go and ease myself. When she finished vomiting and they cleaned it, and I came back. I didn't like to see it at all. When I searched the scripture, I found that there's nothing like that. There's nothing. Have you ever seen when Jesus delivered somebody and they vomited? When Jesus laid his hand on their head and they started vomiting. Oh, oh. Jesus would just say, get out. And the demon will leave. Like one time a friend told me, he says, somebody, they are delivering her from the spirit of lust. And she's vomiting. As a sign of deliverance. You are suffering from the spirit of lust and vomiting. Do they vomit out spirit of lust? Wrong mentality. Are you here tonight? Knowledge is everything. Are you listening to me? The Bible says you will know the truth. The truth will make you free. The mentality about Jesus in our time is very, very funny. We think we're in warfare. You see them misunderstand scripture like this. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but against what? Principalities. Read the scripture well. How do we fight them? Not by saying fire to them, but by ideologies, by subjecting every thought that seems to raise itself above the word knowledge of Christ. Simple. Meaning Satan will send, if Satan wants to fight you now, he'll make you feel like you are useless, you are small, you are under. You must keep on raising God's word in your mind that you are above only. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? He'll make you feel small about yourself so that he will squeeze you. Hallelujah to Jesus. See what the scripture says about how the new creation should walk in victory in Romans 13, the last verse. Let's see it in the TPT rendition. The last verse of Romans 13. Last verse. I want everybody to read the TPT rendition. One to go. The TPT. Instead, fully what? The anointed one. And done what? On your word. To awaken its selfish desire. Forget about everything in the past. Forget about it. Even for a moment, don't remember anything from the past. You are a new creation. Satan will try to make you remember the old you. That's how he keeps you down. Are you able to get what I'm trying to say? Get seated. We are both. Alright, let me finish the example with two of you. One of you should come down, one should be up now. The Bible says the promise of the new creation is this. It says, all ye mountain that stand before what? You shall be brought what? God, come down first. You, come down first. Alright, imagine they are on this same level, right? How God brought, who is Zerubbabel now? Choose. Choir, choose who Zerubbabel should be. Okay, rejoice. They say you are Zerubbabel. Who is the mountain? Victory. Okay. All you mountain that stand before Zerubbabel, what they are saying is that you can beat her. Is it true? Alright, they are on the same plane. God did not bring the mountain down by taking her down. This is not what God did. He said, God just came and took Satan and useless Satan. Mm-mm. Listen to the question in 1 Corinthians 15. Oh death, where is thy sting? Satan has power, but his power now is redundant in Christ Jesus. Meaning his power has no effect. That's why I say, oh death, is the question that, oh death, where's your sting? Throw your best shot, nothing can happen. Are you people getting what I'm trying to explain to you? Very important. So that is why we in Christ will say things like, Satan has no power.
He has no authority, because no matter the level of authority he had or he has, it is useless to us in Christ. Because we are seated where? Far. So see what God did. He said, Satan, be where you are, no problem. He took us up. Go up. So see how he brought, how did he bring the devil down? By taking us up to sit far above what? Principalities and power. From where we are now, when we view Satan, Satan is as good as nothing. Take for instance, I always give this illustration. It's been a while now. You take a flight. How many of you have taken a flight here before? You take a flight. When you take a flight, you are going probably to Lagos. And when you take that flight, your friends may be on the same plane with you before you enter the plane. But as you are going up, what is happening to them? They are going down. It's seeming like they are going smaller. They are becoming smaller, isn't it? As you go up, they come down. As you go up, they come down. You don't get to a plane that when you view them from that plane, you check down now. You will not see them in the same spot. Is it that they are not there again? They are there. But from where you are, you cannot what? See them. See, Satan is alive in the hearts of many people. Some Christians will say, there's a devil, oh, there's a devil. Forget all this thing that Pastor Simon is saying. I'm not saying there's no Satan. But from where we are, Christians, seated far above what? Principalities and powers. The devil cannot be seen from that perspective. Are you people getting what I'm trying to say? It's not like he's not operating. But from where we are, we don't consider him anything. He's just useless. To us, Satan is good as a specimen. He's not useful. Nobody is scared of any specimen here. Which biology student is scared of specimen? Which medical student is scared of cadaver? Only some ladies. But you are not supposed to be scared. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Because it's a specimen, he's dead. How many of you have ever gone to the lab before and you see, if you are that person, you have a problem. You see dead lizard and you are scared. Imagine you see a lady running away from dead lizard. You take her to psychiatry hospital because there's a problem. That's how Satan is. He's specimen D. We talk about him in church, but we relate to him more like a specimen. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? So you see this guy, this thing, will now be using not our bare hands, we'll be using some instrument to show you people. That's it. Making him look like he's useless. The Bible says God has spoiled principalities and what? Powers. And have made a what? A show of him. Triumphing completely over him. That's Colossians 2:14 or 15. Let's see it in the TPT. Colossians 2:14. He cancelled out every word. And the old arrest warrant that stood to indict us. He what? Our sins are stained, so he deleted all and they cannot be retrieved. Everything we once were in Adam had been placed onto his cross and made as a word. Cancellation. Beautiful. Next part of scripture. It then says, then Jesus had made a public what spectacle of all the powers and what? Stripping away from them every weapon and what? And what? And by the power of the cross, Jesus led them around as prisoners in a procession of triumph. He was not their prisoner. They were his. You see that? Meaning when he appeared into hell, they thought they had a prisoner. But suddenly something happened. They became his prisoners. Beautiful. So why are you scared? Why are you scared? Why are you scared? Why are you scared of sin? Darkness. I may fall. You may not fall. You are only above and never beneath. Never I pray to the devil. You don't have peer pressure problem. Nobody can force you to smoke, womanize, manize, and etc. You are in a class of your own. The God kind. That's why you can finish that school without joining any clique. In fact, you create one called Zoe Clique. They will come and be joining. Because you are a different breed. You are the light of the world. A city set where? Cannot be hidden. Glory to God forevermore. So when we talk about new creation, this is what we talk about. Not all those excuses to live in sin. Grace is so wonderful. Grace is so big. Grace is not an excuse to live in sin. Are you listening to me? It's not. This is what we talk about. This is what we mean when we talk about Christianity. New creation reality. Whatever you do in the flesh does not matter. For us that understand creation and kingdom, I mean, we're bought with a price. To the end that we glorify God with our body, which is God's. Nobody can live above sin. You are born of God. There's always a scripture to negate them. You are born of God and you cannot sin because the seed of God is in you. Which one again will they talk? Tell me the ones they've been saying. Nobody is perfect. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Which one again? Huh? Sorry? Body no be firewood. You have heard that one? Body no be firewood. Our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. That's number one. Number two, it said in Romans 6, it said that body of sin has been done away with. Number 3 point, if the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, the same spirit as what? Might not be firewood. Might not be firewood. Glorious body. So there's a natural body and there's a what? Glorifiable. Paul started by saying there are different kind of body for fishes, for reptiles, and etc. Meaning their body supports their environment. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? We have a new body that supports this our new world. It's God's glorious body. So, Pastor Samuel, how is my body new? See my nose, the same black color. See my eye, one kind. It has not changed in Christ. We are not seeing it to change. When Jesus resurrected, except you have a problem with it. That is, if you are sick, that is when you need to change. When Jesus resurrected, when he said, check my hands. Did they see the nails there? Where they bore nails, did they see it? Yet he said the body is new. You can see the scar there, but no effect. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You used to smoke, your mouth is black. Now you cannot smoke again. Yet your mouth is still black. It doesn't mean you are a smoker. Oh death, where is dying? Be a serious Christian. We are not joking here. This is not where you come and get girlfriend and misbehave. Here when you come, I have a strong work with the Holy Ghost and a covenant in Christ Jesus with the Holy Ghost. Not a personal covenant. Are you listening to me? To raise a kingdom-minded people. For some of you that have started eyeing one girl, one boy, and you are thinking of girlfriend, it's not here they do those kind of things. Here you marry. If you want to marry, finish. It's not there in girlfriends. Or they like this one, they enter my eye. You marry. See who you like, you marry him. No girlfriend. You hear me? Pastor, I like this one. They enter my eye. If God tell you, say yes. No problem. Sign it. Police, come and bear witness. When is the wedding date? Sign it. Shiki, no? Magana yakari. Somebody came to me. I'm not saying this out of pride. He said, Pastor, I've observed your people and I like the purity, pursuit, and etc. Thank you for it. Celebrated me and the rest. And I give God all the praise and glory. And he asked me, what is the secret? I said, the word of God. He said, this word of God is everywhere. I said, I made sure God gave me the wisdom many years ago. My role model for life and for understanding of God's word is Prophet Kobus van Rensburg. Anywhere. That's my role model. When it comes to a preacher, he's my greatest preacher for life. Are we together? In case you don't know, I'm just saying it. Glory to God forevermore. And my pattern for ministry is Pastor Chris. Many years ago, the Lord taught me. Hallelujah to Jesus. So I told them, the Lord taught me administration from Pastor Chris. Many years ago. And I started learning, went close with some of the pastors to learn even better. I found out that it's not enough to know the word of God. You must create a system and channel the word of God so that it effectively does what it's supposed to do in the life of people. I said, that's the bridge. You know, administration is the bridge between burning for God and burning out physically. You'll be burning for God. If you don't have the right administration, people will just scatter everything God is doing. So I told him, I said, that's the secret. And that is why by God's grace, I have never and I will never record all of those kinds of useless testimonies about immorality and the rest in the name of Jesus. I will never. Whether people are wishing it will not work. Whether you want to do it, it will not work. Because I pray. As long as I'm doing my duty, I'll be seen. I may have not seen you now, you'll be smiling at me and say, Prophet, you know they see me. I am timing somebody. No problem. You just said timing. The Bible says better is the end of a matter than the beginning. Let's bet. We will see who will laugh last. I will catch you red and dead in the twinkle of an eye. And you know when I will catch you? When you have made all the investment, then it will not be fruitful. It will not be fruitful. Hallelujah to Jesus. So that's it. Here we raise kingdom-minded people. And I'm not following what is popular. I follow the word of God. Are we together? And as long as you are here by God's grace, you'll be only kingdom-minded. We cannot bend for anybody. Hallelujah to Jesus Christ. Are you excited? Do you like how your life is going? Some people didn't answer. These people did not answer. Hey! You stay waiting? Stand up and leave church, all of you. Yes, sir! You people had a problem. What did I say?
Yes, sir!
What did I say?
Yes, sir!
No, keep quiet. What did I say?
Yes, sir!
Hey! No, wait. I want to see these people. This one is like, there's one man of God, one teacher in my secondary school. He said there are some group called Oho group. You know what Oho means? I don't care. All right. I'm not saying you are Oho group. Are you with us?
Yes, sir.
Eh?
Yes, sir.
They try to pass these people. Are you people with us?
Yes, sir.
Richard is trying to make sure they win, my friend. Let me try this, people. Hi. You see why I like coming here when I'm preaching. Let me try this, people. Let me try these people. Cynthia! Hallelujah! In Cambodge, eh? They say in Cambodia, like, it's not isn't it? I hope you are not in the Oho group. Hallelujah to Jesus. Be on your feet, lift your hands and give God praise. Thank Him for the word. Thank Him for the word. I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Take joy, my King, in what you hear. Let it be a sweet, sweet incense
to your ear.
Let's sing together.
We exalt you.
Personalize it.
I exalt you. Oh, I exalt you. Oh, God, I exalt you. I exalt you. I exalt you. I exalt you. Oh, God.
I am sure you were blessed by these words of life and peace from Prophet Simon Thomas. Get transformed by the truth of God's word by visiting and following our social media handles at Glory Carriers Ministry International, and get more messages at www.embassyofglory.com. Also, worship with us on Tuesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays first service by 8 a.m. and second service by 10:15 a.m. at Sheraton Hotels beside Benue State House of Assembly, Mukherjee, Benue State. God bless you.